Morning drive on this Thursday on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live inside of Jack Daniel's Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena, the site for tonight's Preds game, as your boys are back in town going for five in a row as they return home. As they return home, the favorites, according to Las Vegas, to now win the Stanley Cup. Good morning, fellas.
What's going on, guys? Yes, Toronto, yeah. Toronto in town. Obviously, Toronto beat them last time they played, and of course, beat them here at the end of the season last year. And so, very, very good team. Potential Stanley Cup preview. Not anybody's pick in the Eastern Conference to win the thing as far as Vegas odds go, but a very, very good hockey team. And having a chance to talk with Mattias Ekholm last night at Smashville Live. I hope you didn't miss out. If you did, you got one more chance to do that coming up next Wednesday. However, he even acknowledged during that conversation that, yeah, maybe you shouldn't get up for the best teams in the NHL a little bit more, but it's hard not to, and that they do. And so tonight, I think, lots of energy in the building, lots of intensity, measuring stick game against an Eastern Conference foe that you don't see a lot of. Pekka Rinne is on a mission to acquire the Vezina Trophy. So it's very, very exciting stuff for Predators fans. And it does feel weird to have, like, 2 weekdays off in a row. And then they give it. It almost feels weird, their last game Monday. But a quick little home stop here, and then two really big games over the weekend back-to-back against Minnesota and Winnipeg before they get Minnesota back here on Tuesday. So this is a four-game stretch against four playoff teams that are all going to be in the top three of their division in the next four games. It starts tonight. Big one against the Leafs.
And you would expect the intensity to keep amplifying as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And yesterday I look on Twitter and I see this tweet come out. An impressive run in the last month. Depth and magnificent goaltending from Pekka Rinne have made the Predators the new favorites to win the Stanley Cup. They are now plus 375 ahead of the Lightning, the Golden Knights, the Penguins, the Bruins. And 6.5 weeks ago when we launched this show, I told you that I felt they were getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's a coin flip if they win it. I've since changed that and think they are going to win it. And now when I see the experts in Las Vegas, who I think are some of the smartest people roaming this planet, install them as the favorites, I feel a bit vindicated. I know it can blow up in our face at any moment. The Stanley Cup playoffs can always be one of the most dramatic things of ups and downs and upsets. It's kind of like March Madness in a way, but I feel very good knowing the smart people agree with me.
So that means the Predators are going to lose to a 16 seed.
Pretty much, and then I'm just going to leave Nashville and head home.
Because the Vegas odds favorite to win the NCAA tournament did something that no other team has ever done in history, and that's lose to a 16 seed in the first round. And that also includes Arizona, Michigan State, two teams that were in the top five of the Vegas odds of the top 68 teams. So how about the Chicago Blackhawks last year as a one seed? I mean, how do those odds work? And I think – I think that it's cool. It's just another thing to look at, and for Vegas to acknowledge that people, what that tells me is that when the Predators were the fourth or fifth team in the odds, it tells me that everyone was betting on them. That's what that tells me, is that Vegas was taking a lot of bets on Nashville to win the whole thing, so they had to keep ratcheting it up a little bit.
Very true.
Which puts them back now. So that means there was some smart money on Nashville for a while. Now it means maybe you don't bet. Now the betting public, they want to stop that flow of money in on Nashville, right? So they implant, they put them in as the favorite. That then pushes people's money to other teams.
Well,
so,
my $25 bet that I put on them scared Vegas.
I feel like that's a conflict of interest. But it's just, you know, Vegas is weird, but Vegas is right all the time. So even if you look at the NCAA tournament and you look at the top 10 teams, five of the top 10 teams, according to the Vegas odds, to win the national title were knocked out, didn't even survive the first weekend. That doesn't mean that somebody else in the top 10 isn't going to win it, which is right. Kansas and Duke and Villanova. Those teams could all very much win the title, and Vegas would be right, too. So it's the house always wins, folks.
Here's the difference, though, in my opinion, in this year and last year. You know, you look at the Chicago Blackhawks that were the favorite going into last year. And this is taking off the gold-colored glasses. This is just being completely objective. I didn't think they were the best team. I didn't necessarily think the Predators were the best team, but I did not think the Chicago Blackhawks were the best team going into the playoffs. I felt like that if the Preds played their game, they could knock them out. Was not expecting a sweep by any means, but I felt like that they could be beaten. I look at the Predators, and again, being objective, just watching a lot of hockey, I truly believe right now, as we sit on March 22nd, they are the best team. So
yeah.
I think that's the difference. I never felt that about Chicago, and there's been other examples, but I actually feel that way about Nashville.
I think the Blackhawks are a good example. I mean, you know, these things do happen, but the March Madness example is a little bit off for me, simply because that's a one-and-done format. You know, that's 40 minutes where something goes awry. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, and again, things happen. You know, the Blackhawks lost last year. I just don't see how somebody's going to beat the Predators four times in a seven-game series. I guess I'm taking the – and I'm not trying to compare them to LeBron and the Cavs or the Golden State Warriors, but I look at this, how good this team is from top to bottom and how they just don't have very, very little glaring weaknesses. How does somebody beat them four out of seven times? That's what I don't know.
I think it's a balancing act between the two, actually. I completely agree with you. I think that's where the best of seven – can you not only do you have to win one game in Bridgestone Arena, you might have to win two games in Bridgestone Arena to win a series. And so you do have to be the better team. But it's not as clean as the NBA because there's only five players that really – you know, maybe you have seven guys that play. Well, you got 20 guys that are playing in a game – with a goaltender that can steal one. I mean, if you go up against, you know, Connor Hellebuyck in the second round and Winnipeg plays awful hockey, but their goaltender steals two games, they can beat you in a series. So I think it's, to your point, it's way more, chalk isn't the right word. It's way more chalk than the tournament because of the one, like you said, it's a one-game situation. If you just shoot the ball poorly, you can get knocked out of the NCAA tournament. But it's not the same as the NBA where it's basically LeBron on the floor for all 42 of the 48 minutes. And the best team wins almost every single time. The hockey tournament is way more like the NCAA tournament than it is the NBA tournament. I mean, you've got eight seeds that make it to the Stanley Cup final. Almost, I mean, it's in the last 10 years. What have there been? 4 or 5 8 seeds that have made it to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, the teams that the one seeds are
the
not.
LA Kings.
I mean, the LA Kings won it as an eight seed. I want to say there was a couple other teams that got there as eight seeds as well, including the Predators, of course, last year. So. You can't, you know, it's so much more random. Injuries are a huge part of it. That's not really a huge factor in the NBA. You assume most of your players, you know, you might, you know, in the NBA Finals with Golden State, if you lose one of those four guys, that would be a huge story. Well, in the NHL, you're probably going to lose a guy every round. And then I think the opposing goaltender factor is just something that you can't really account for. I mean, Mike Smith stole a series from this Predators team just a couple years ago. And he's an average to middle-of-the-pack goaltender for Arizona when they had no business winning that series. The Nashville Predators were by far the significantly better team, and a goaltender stole a series for you. So that's just something that can happen.
I think there were some other factors in that series too.
Very, very, very true. Very true. But the point being is it is not a rare thing for a goaltender to just steal a series from somebody that's better than them. That is a hockey thing that happens
right.
in the playoffs. And – I think there's some good news in that I don't – John Gibson's played really, really well for Anaheim. Could he steal a series? Probably. Could Jonathan Quick steal a series? Probably.
I would put money on Quick over Gibson.
Of course, but if I'm looking at the whole Western Conference, Hellebuyck would be in that conversation. I'm not sure St. Louis's goaltending situation is – I mean, I'm not sure they're going to steal a series. I don't know if – I mean, Ben Bishop's been injured.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if they can do that. Certainly not with Kari Lehtinen in net. So you kind of look around Minnesota. You know, Devin Dubnyk had such a great year last year. I don't know if he's going to be a series stealer this year. So you kind of look around and you go, it's sort of L.A. and Anaheim that scares you from a goaltending standpoint. Marc-Andre Fleury certainly could. He's got the capability. So if you told me that Marc-Andre Fleury stole a series against the Predators, that would not be a surprise. So that's just one of those things that happens in hockey that's not something you worry about in the NBA or any other sport.
615-737-1025 is the phone number to get in. When we come back, we'll roll out the stupid poll question of the day. And 20 years from now, think about this for a second. 20 years from now, how many Hall of Famers will we look back on for the 2018 Predators? We will delve into that on the other side. It is Morning Drive, broadcasting live inside of Jack Daniel's Barrel House in Bridgestone Arena right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Come on. Welcome back in the Morning Drive on this Thursday. Great to have you in ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason's on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow, though. Chase McCabe. We're live at Jack Daniel's Barrel House inside of Bridgestone Arena. Preds back in action tonight, going for five in a row. This team just continues to streak, and every now and then when they lose a game, they rip off four or five in a row. So looking forward to that. We'll get to the stupid poll question of the day in just a couple of moments. But guys, an interesting tweet yesterday, and this came in from Zach F. Guest on Twitter. He sent it to myself, Braden, and Stillman. And he says, 20 years from now, how many Hall of Famers does this 2018 Predators team end up having? He says, 4 to 7 guys seems plausible, more if you count Poile and Laviolette. I want to get your thoughts on that because, to me, 4 to 7 seems extremely high.
Yeah. So, Zach, we love you, Zach. Great listener of the show.
Two to three, maybe?
Go Dolphins. I think right now there is one, and that is David Poile. I think Pekka would have to, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago pretty briefly, and most of us were like, yeah, it's a reach. Pekka has to land a Vezina trophy and probably win a cup to get into the Hall of Fame.
And probably get to 400 wins.
Which would, again, probably be what, like two more full seasons at least of 30 to 40 win seasons, so he would need at least two more years. So Pekka, is the best player in franchise history, is still a bit of a reach to get to the Hall of Fame. So, all right, P.K. Subban, here's the question. If P.K. Subban plays 15 or 18 years in the NHL at the level that he has played, he might get into the Hall of Fame, but does he go in as a Canadian or does he go in as a Predator? Does that count in this conversation? I'm assuming anybody who's played, because like, I don't count Paul Kariya as a Predator being a Hall of Famer. I think you know, like, you've got to sort of play your
– He and Peter Forsberg are the only two.
Right, like you have to be a Predator, I feel like, for most of your career. And that, you know, if Roman Josi plays his entire career as a Predator, if Philip Forsberg plays his entire career as a Predator, I could see the two of them getting there. I don't know if Ryan Ellis or Mattias Ekholm will get the credit that they are due, but those are the only ones that I see that are even possible. And that's only because they've gotten off to incredible starts to careers and are clearly, like, and I was talking with Hal Gill about this yesterday off the air. You go to opposing rinks and they always say, who's the best player on the team? And you get sort of a one-third says 76, one-third says 59, and one-third says 4. And then you got a couple of guys jumping in and saying Ekholm. So it's not a split vote, but what it tells me is that it tells me that those guys have the ability to be the best player on their team on any given night, the majority of the time. And should they play 15 to 18 years, those guys have really, I would say, really outside chances to be Hall of Famers. But Josi, Forsberg, Subban would be the three. But Subban would sort of have to continue a Norris Trophy caliber career, which there's no reason he wouldn't, for probably another, what's he played, 7, 8 years in Montreal? Something like that. He would need another 7 or 8 year stint with just as much success here in Nashville, which is very possible.
I think this is a fantastic question.
Because when I saw that tweet, I was like, whoa.
The hardest thing to do is we want to think about the now. And so we know these players as they are today. It's hard to think 15, 20 years from now. You know, the thing with Rene, I think of guys on the roster right now, he has the best chance, but there's still some work to be done. He's got to win a cup. He's got to win the Vezina. I would say get to 400 wins. He does all that, then, yeah, you might have an argument.
The question is also, is he going to continue playing the way he is this year, which is otherworldly, or is he going to have that regression to the mean and kind of go back a little bit? Odds are at 35, you are going to go back a little bit.
And wildly inconsistent last year.
Right. And look, he might, you know, his contract's up next year. He might decide when that contract's up, if they win the Stanley Cup this year, if he wins a Vezina, he might be like, you know what? I've had a great career. I'm done. I don't know. I'm just saying, you don't know how much longer some of these guys are going to play. I know people have asked about Mike Fisher. I think Mike Fisher has had a great career. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
No chance.
I think he's Hall of really good, but not Hall of Fame. There is one guy that's not on this roster that I do think deserves some consideration when his career is done, and that, of course, is Shea Weber.
Yeah. Although not a part of this year's team.
He's not a part of this year's team.
Well, his success didn't come. Like, he wasn't – not being a part of last year's team, you know, being in the Cup final, that's also – going to be a knock on him. But I agree. I think Shea Weber's probably – I mean, I don't think Ryan Suter's a Hall of Famer, but Ryan Suter can end up having a pretty unbelievable career when it's all said and done. I think along the same lines as Shea Weber. I was just looking at Pekka's numbers. He's 309 wins right now. He's 10 wins away from being the all-time winningest goaltender in Finnish history. Mika Kiprusoff at 319. If he has one, let's say they win a cup. Mm-hmm. He wins the Vezina, and he has one more season. He rides out his contract, right? He wants one more year, and then he's going to retire. 36 years old. He says, "You know what? I'm done. I've played a lot of really great hockey. I've accomplished the championship. I've got the personal awards. I'm obviously entrenched as a member of this community here in Nashville." And he goes, "You know what? It's just time for me to do my next chapter." Let's say he wins 40 games again. So another really good season. They've got another playoff run in him somehow. He probably gets to about 350 wins. That puts him top 25 all time. Puts him right almost top 20 all time in wins. Does he get in with 350 wins, a Stanley Cup, and a Vezina trophy?
I think it's very close.
So he's still right there on the fringe.
But if you look at it from the standpoint, what was the number we threw out last week? Martin Brodeur has 8 40-win seasons. Second all-time is Pekka with 3. So if he gets to 4 next year, like you just mentioned in that example, I mean, he is in rarefied air from that category.
No question. And I think what the exercise does, though, is it shows you, and I like this, I think this is a good thing for all sports, that the bar to get into a Hall of Fame anywhere should be extraordinarily high.
Yeah, don't water it down.
Yeah, I'm okay. Like, listen, Hall of Fames aren't my thing. They used to be when I was a kid. I thought Cooperstown was, like, the coolest thing in the world. But it's just not – I don't know. As I've gotten older, it just – it feels more like an Academy Award or something. Like, it's just – I don't care about award shows, and I just have lost as much interest in the Hall of Fame. But I do – if I was in charge of one or whatever, I'd want the bar to be pretty hard to clear. I mean, that
right.
you want it to be pretty high level. So if you've got a Vezina, a cup, and our top 25 wins in the history of the sport, and you don't get in, that's pretty high bar. So with that conversation, then to me, he looks at the rest of the team and says, as of right now, odds are not one of these guys makes it in then. Like, David Poile's in. To me, the only guy that we can look at in this organization and say that guy's a Hall of Famer is David Poile. I don't think there's any way David Poile doesn't get into the Hall of Fame.
So
without a cup, I don't think he needs a cup.
So Poile's a lock. Pekka, at this point, will we agree coin flippish?
I don't even know if I would go.
He
50-50.
Has to win. I think he has to win a cup.
Okay,
and that's really hard to do.
And then you mentioned Forsberg. You mentioned Yossi.
I think those would be the top two.
And PK. Can one of those three get there to get the number to be three?
I think Yossi.
I think Yossi's the best of the group, and I think of those three could. If you're telling me, hey, you get those three, and one of them has to make it, I think I could see that. But they also have to. What they have to do then is 12 more years of what they've done so far,
right?
Which is not out of the question,
right?
It's just really hard to do and to maintain that level of play without injury, to be on good teams. You know, Yossi could be the captain of this team for 12 years. And if that's the case, and they go to a bunch of cups, even if they don't win many of them, they win one, it's going to be a Hall of Fame-ish type career.
Forsberg, to me, would have to, just looking at a forward, would have to have consistent years of, you know, 35 to 40 goals a year. And I think we all agree he probably would have broken 40 this year had it not been for the injury and the suspension. That probably, you know, we would be having that conversation right now because the way he was playing before the injury. But I think he would have to put up more consistent numbers from that aspect to really be in consideration.
And that is honestly where the conversation we've had before on the show about how balanced this team is. Nobody in the top 50 in scoring, but like 12 dudes with, you know, 14 guys with 10 goals and, you know, all these guys with 40-plus points. Like, that's where the balance of this team might actually hurt one of the forwards, because while this team is known for its defensemen, that's why I sort of look at the defensemen and say PK or Yossi have the best shot, is because they're sort of known for that. And I think a little bit of name recognition and notoriety helps with writers when they're voting on these kinds of things. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just sort of – that's kind of the way it is, unfortunately. The Predators have never had a guy – one guy has gone a point per game in a season, and that was Paul Kariya one time. This team has just never had – and a lot of that was Barry Trotz. This team has just never had a 100-point guy. Like, that's just never been a guy. Like, Forsberg would have to be a 80-90-point guy for probably a good 10 years, consistently in that range to earn Hall of Fame status. And I'm not saying he can't do it. He can. But That's something that this team has literally never had other than one time.
Korea with 85. But this team's never been built that way. I mean, that's, you know, it's been built with depth and guys that can contribute.
All right, guys, here's what we got going on this morning. Very, very busy show. We'll get to some calls, but I want to just give you a quick rundown of what we're going to do. We've got Coffee with the Coach coming up at 7:30. We're going to talk with Jason Wolf from the Tennessean, covers the Titans in the 8 o'clock hour. And very excited, we're going to have Rick Byrd, Belmont head coach, with us live here at Barrel House for a half hour, breaking down, previewing the Sweet 16 in March Madness. And, of course, we've got Hal Gill. But we have a great giveaway, so we're going to try to get some calls in the first 2 hours of the show. The best caller in the show today is going to get a pair of tickets to hang out with us, ESPN 102.5 The Game, in the suite at Nissan Stadium for the Nashville SC season opener as they take on the Pittsburgh Riverhounds this Saturday. So we will determine the best caller by the end of the show. So first half of the show is a great opportunity to get in. We'll be very busy in the second 2 hours. So if you want to get involved, 615-737-1025. We'll get some calls on the other side. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason. It is Morning Drive right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Drive on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick, Braden, D-Mace on vacation, Chase, the guys, they're dancing here at Barrel House. I'm just kind of stuck in the middle navigating this ship.
Well, Josh throwing us a John Travolta movie there to start the segment.
It's Arcade Fire. I've never heard this song before, but I love it now.
That is a good song. Yeah, Arcade Fire, very good.
Oh, see, now look how quickly he just does, like, a backpedal. Like, it's cool.
I didn't say John Travolta was very good in the 70s. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Like, I wasn't necessarily knocking it. Listen, Arcade Fire, good running music. If you want to go for a good run,
yeah,
good running music, Arcade Fire.
And speaking of, I signed up for your 5K run yesterday for our kids and the charity and the foundation that you are so greatly a part of with Sue Ford White. So I'm looking forward to that coming up on, Saturday, April 7th?
Yes, Saturday, April 7th. Join us for the J.E. Dunn Hammer Down Race, of course. You could do a 1K for the kids, which I don't even know what the math is on that. That's pretty short. You can do the 5K, which, of course, is 3.1 miles, and then the 10K. The race starts at 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m. for the longer races. You can check out ourkidscenter.com is the website for that. We need runners. We already are loaded up on sponsorship, which is just an amazing thing that this community does to have all of our sponsorship taken care of. But we do need runners. So come on out, sign up. It's like $20 or something, and all the money goes to help the children of Middle Tennessee who are sexually abused. The nurse practitioners and the people over there at Our Kids are the true heroes of our community, and I can't say enough good things about them. So sign up, ourkidscenter.com, and you get to run with Nick Cale and I.
Yep.
We have not yet got Chase on board with yogging.
Well, considering how out of breath he is when he comes to let us in at Bridgestone, I don't think he's going to be running.
You could walk a 5K, dude. It's not, you know. It's not that big a deal.
You like that? My
grandma walks 5Ks all the time, Chase. You could totally do that. It's fine.
Wow.
All right, so here's the deal. Best caller between now and 8 o'clock is going to get a pair of tickets.
Bully people into charity. Yeah, that's what we do.
I have no – that I will not apologize about. If it's bullying you into anything else, then I'm the jerk. But if I'm bullying you into helping –
but you got to give me a little bit of time to actually do it on my own accord before you start, you know, laying into
No, me. Never. I will bully everyone into helping the children of Middle Tennessee and not feel bad about it.
615-737-1025. If you're the best caller between now and 8 o'clock, you're going to get a pair of tickets to come with us on Saturday to Nissan Stadium and sit in the suite for the Nashville SC season opener as they take on the Pittsburgh River Hounds.
Over 17,000 tickets are
gonna be
sold.
Awesome.
Got an update yesterday on that. I'm assuming that number is going to continue to rise as walk-up tickets are purchased. The record is 20,132 for a USL home opener for a franchise, and there's a very good chance that our soccer franchise will have the greatest home debut in USL history. That's a pretty cool idea, so you want to be a part of that for sure.
Let's start it off with Adam in Clarksville, first up on Morning Drive this morning. What's up, Adam?
What's up, man? All right, I'm listening to y'all talk about this Hall of Fame. I really call it Hall of Fame nonsense, but I'm sitting here listening. I'm thinking, man, we got to win the Cup. Like, we got to win the Cup. If you're talking about Hall of Fame stuff, that just means the city's that high right now that they're like, okay, so which guys are we putting in the Hall of Fame? So if you would have imagined me calling in talking about which players of ours are going to the Hall of Fame this time last year, I think you'd have hung up on me. So it just, I mean, it's fun to be a fan for the Predators right now because we're so high. But yeah, I think everybody just ought to taper expectations until we get through this postseason run. I don't anticipate us losing in the postseason, but everybody just needs to breathe and let's get this first one first.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. How many people actually compare the Hall of Fame with championships? Like, is that a big factor? Like, we're sitting here talking about
quarterbacks in the NFL, yes.
Okay, but, I mean, even Dan Marino. I mean, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl, but, I mean, he's arguably a top five quarterback
right,
of all time.
But we attach goaltenders, starting pitchers, quarterbacks. There are certain positions that are evaluated, and I'm not even saying it's right, that are evaluated. Like, Eli Manning's going to get into the Hall of Fame, and he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, in my opinion. He's really,
I'd agree with that.
He's a really good quarterback, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Not even close, in my opinion.
But he will get in because of championships, because of his performance on the big stage, and because
he beat Brady twice.
And it's just he's got two rings. Like he won two rings, and we evaluate quarterbacks in the NFL based almost entirely on championships. Like
it's just stupid.
Think about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers might be the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's got one,
and people are going to be like, "Oh, he could have done more."
yeah, but he's still a Hall of Famer.
Well, the Packers could have done more to help him,
right? Well, no disagreement there. But the point is that he's lost games in the playoffs, and he's not made it back to the Super Bowl. So the point is that we put too much of the blame and too much of the credit on the quarterback. It doesn't mean it's not the most important position on the field, just like goaltender is in hockey. I think starting pitcher is a little different in baseball because you have to have at least three or four of them to be great. But what's Clayton Kershaw's entire career? What was his entire career up until last year?
Postseason
failures.
That he
could not win in the postseason. We never talked about the fact that he had the greatest 8 or 9 year start to a career in the history of Major League Baseball. What we talked about was, oh, he's got a 4.7 ERA in the postseason. Like, that's all you talk about. So, you know, what do we talk about between LeBron and Jordan? What's the number one argument between LeBron and Jordan?
Ring.
One went 6-0, and one is
3-5.
3-5. So, mm-hmm. I think that – or two. Is it two championships, or is it three?
It's three.
So, it's –
no.
He's got two.
Yeah, three.
No, LeBron's got three.
He went two
in Miami, one in Cleveland.
So, the point is even though he's gone, whatever it is, 7 straight years to the NBA Finals, he doesn't get credit for losing to Golden State. That's the thing. Like, even though – Like you can have that Jordan-LeBron debate, and there's really no wrong answer. They're both probably the greatest players of all time. But what, like Jerry West, why does Jerry West not get mentioned? Because he went like 1-8 in the finals or whatever it is. Like it's sad, but it's part of it.
That's what really irritates me too is when you look at the Hall of Fame, that is an individual accomplishment. Now, granted, look, your individual success is going to have ties to the team that you're on. I mean, if you're a quarterback – and you have crappy wide receivers, chances are you're not going to complete a lot of passes. If you're a wide receiver...
That's your Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right, or Peyton Manning. I mean, Peyton Manning made a lot of guys look good. I mean, yes, he had
two Hall of Famers.
He had some great wide receivers, but Austin Colley, I mean...
Oh, come on.
That's a name.
Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
Okay,
come on.
But
Dallas
there were
Clark.
Others.
Come on.
He pulled
there
out Austin Colley.
Austin Colley had like 1 year where he started for the team and then had like 17 concussions. After
my
that.
Point is
Griff Whalen.
There, you know, we put too much stock in championships. Whereas, look, Dan Marino doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like you just said, I think there's no argument there.
Is my biggest problem with the Hall of Fame debate with championships is how it seems to change for the individual. Like Dan Marino gets killed for not having one. LeBron James has three. And it's almost like, should have 7.
No, but we're having a different conversation, though. The conversation about LeBron and the conversation about Dan are very different. The conversation about Dan Marino is he a Hall of Famer? The answer is obvious, yes.
Yeah.
The question about LeBron is a different.
Same with Jim Kelly.
Like one of those is climbing, like, the Cumberland Plateau. The other one is climbing Everest. And like, did Dan Marino get over the Cumberland Plateau to get into the Hall of Fame? Of course he did. LeBron is trying to knock off Jordan. We're talking about the greatest player of all time. And who's in the conversation when we talk about who are the greatest quarterbacks of all time? It's not Dan Marino. It's Joe Montana. It's Tom Brady. It's Peyton Manning. It's guys that have been to the top of the mountain. Many of those guys have been to the top of the mountain lots of times, many different times. So, you know, Peyton's got two. you know, Tom Brady's got five. Joe Montana's got four. Who do we talk about who's the greatest quarterback of all time?
Peyton's got one and a half. Let's just be honest.
One of the other things, though, that we always talk about with Hall of Fame.
And then Terry Porter's got the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Is a lot of times guys hang on to their career and they compile stats. As far as Pecorine, if he, let's just say he plays till he's 40. He has this regression, and he's still a top eight goaltender in the league.
It would get him
for the next 4 or 5 years.
It would get him to 400 wins.
Do you hold that against him for voting for the Hall of Fame, that he hung around and just amassed numbers?
No, I mean, Kari Lehtinen's doing that right now, right?
Right.
I would say no. If he's got a cup and a Vezina, that will be the more deciding factor.
Because wasn't that the debate with Lee Smith as a closer, that he just hung around and kept picking up 20 saves a year, and you look at the all-time numbers, and there he is virtually at the top. But he wasn't elite for those X amount of years. Like, that's something I always recall.
There's another thing with Rene, too, that you have to factor in. And I know injuries are a part of the sport, but he missed basically all of a season with a hip injury. It wasn't that long. It was like 50 games.
Well, but he wasn't himself, I mean, for
right.
a big chunk
and so,
of time.
So you have to factor that in as well. Okay, had that not happened, what would he have done based on?
And I don't ever – and I can't look at it that way. You know, Gale Sayers played this many years. Terrell Davis played this many years.
Right.
You are what you are. It's unfortunate that you missed the season because you got hurt, but that's who you are. So my thing with Pekka, and I think this maybe is what comes down to it, were you the best, one of the best players of your, at your position during your time? And you could argue from Pekka's, well, what was the year? That was 2011 where he finished second in the Vezina voting. You could argue from 2010, 2011 to today, is Pekka Rinne one of the best three or four goaltenders on the planet? During his height of his career, does he fall into that category? And I think if you finish top three in the Vezina four times in a 5 or 6 to 8 year span, that makes you one of the best of your generation. And that's sort of the question I asked about the Hall of Fame is – were you the best at your position?
He's finished top three times so far,
and this will be his fourth. I'm
right.
Assuming he's there. So, you know, another cup run, two trips to the cup, four top three Veznas. You're one of the best players at your position on the planet. That's a pretty vague but like easy way to look at it.
March Madness gets back underway tonight with the Sweet 16. Two SEC teams in action. Any interest, or have you checked out? If you're a Vols fan, we'll get into that coming up next. It's Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back in Morning Drive on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason will be back in the saddle tomorrow. Chase McCabe broadcasting live inside of Jack Daniels Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena tonight for the Preds. And we'll get to Sweet 16 action in just a moment, but some breaking news just coming down the wire as UConn has reportedly hired Dan Hurley to be their next head coach. He gets a 6-year contract. Good move for the Huskies?
Yeah, we saw this one coming. Great job at University of Rhode Island, of course. Got them into the tournament this year as a 7 seed, beat Oklahoma in that really exciting game. The Hurley brothers have been largely rising stars in the coaching ranks for quite some time, and for him to get to UConn, I think it's a heck of a hire for UConn. UConn expects to compete for championships, so I think it's a big move for them.
615-737-1025. Let's say good morning to Tristan in Hendersonville, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Tristan?
Hey, good morning, Nick. Good morning, Brady. Good morning, everybody. Hey,
what's happening?
I got a couple questions for you. Really quick, are you at all concerned with the Predators moving forward with their teams that they could potentially play in Winnipeg, or not Winnipeg, in the Western Conference final, Western Conference movement? Are you at all concerned with any teams that we have faced in the future? And then on the second part of that is, are you concerned that we have not beat Eastern Conference opponents as easily as we have for the Western Conference opponents? Secondly, as far as playoff beards are concerned, Nick, you've seen my beard. Do I shave it off before the playoffs and let it grow through the playoffs, or do I just keep it as is and keep growing it?
No, keep growing it.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Chase and I are going to keep growing.
Yeah, just keep growing it.
I haven't shaved since the beginning of the 10-game winning streak, and I will not shave until they're done and eliminated. I'll say this about I don't think this is like a hot take or anything. I think if they make it to the Western Conference Finals, they're winning that series.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that there's a team that they lose to in that series. My concern, what I think is the most difficult situation for this team in the Western Conference is an Anaheim series in the first round and a Winnipeg series in the second round. It's not that I would pick them to beat Anaheim. I think they would win that series. But at what cost to your team from a travel standpoint, from an injury standpoint, and then having to play a very fast, powerful, strong Winnipeg team in the very next round? That to me, if they survive those two rounds, I think they win the Western Conference. I'm not as concerned in the Western Conference Finals with Vegas or whoever else it could be. But to me, it's Anaheim takes so much out of you, and then having to go play a Winnipeg team that's actually, as far as the top six forwards go, better than you, and faster than you, and more powerful with guys like Wheeler and Laine and Little and all these guys. That is the combo platter that would concern me the most, is those two series. And if you get through that, I think they're good to go until the finals, and then you got to see what happens in that situation.
I have always said with the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoff, I actually think the first round is probably the hardest, and then it kind of works its way backwards. And the reason that I say that is because you have everyone that's just both teams that are just fired up, and then the way that they seed these and the travel and everything gets amped up. He just brought up a great point with Anaheim. I mean, we already know that Anaheim, they are the master of the dark arts, as Willie Donick likes to say. Multiply that times about five when you get into the playoffs, because they are out to hurt. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to give themselves an advantage, so they're going to try and take a guy out of the lineup. So you have that, and I think Braden just made another great point. If you survive in advance, if you survive Anaheim and then you survive Winnipeg, if it gets to that, then, yeah, I think you get to the Western Conference Final. It's like, oh, it's not easy by any means, but I think the path is easier at that point.
I just think you like the matchup there.
Yeah.
You know, if it's Vegas, if it's San Jose, if it's L.A., I mean, whoever it may be, you know, it obviously wouldn't be either Minnesota or Winnipeg. It could be Colorado. I mean, there's just not a team that's scary in that matches up in that third round. The only time you're going to play Winnipeg is in the second round. And it could be Anaheim, in theory. Anaheim could be your Western Conference final opponent, and that would be difficult. If you had to go L.A., first round, Winnipeg, Anaheim, that's a pretty brutal stretch to get there. But again, I think once you get to where the stakes are so high, to your point about the first round being one of the tougher situations, when you get to the Western Conference Finals and you're playing Anaheim and the stakes are so high, there's no letdown. There's no fear of coming out slow or – you know, what you're worried about is that you've lost a player in each of those series and you get to the Anaheim series and they take out another player and all of a sudden you're down three of your best players and you're going, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Two things, quickly. Number one, and I have said this for the last several weeks, I still think Anaheim gets the second seed in the Pacific. I think they get that second spot in the Pacific. So I think it's probably going to be Colorado or Los Angeles that you're worrying about with the wild card, or Minnesota. If Minnesota is the third seed in the Central and has to play Winnipeg, I'm not just handing that to Winnipeg.
No, they've never won a game in their career.
It'd be nice to see what Minnesota knock them off.
Right, and I think Minnesota could do that. Of all the teams that, you know, whether it's Minnesota or Colorado, Minnesota, to me, has the best chance to knock off Winnipeg in the first round.
I will say I have never in our entire, whatever it is, two-year relationship, Chase McCabe. We've been going on 2 years now, you and me.
You guys are going steady?
I have never rooted for you to be right more than I am for Anaheim to finish as a 2 or a 3 seed. I have never rooted harder for you to be right, ever.
I just look at the trends.
There's not a team, there's not a series that concerns me at all in the first round, honestly, anywhere. But the one that will have the most impact on this team is Anaheim. And that is the team I don't want to see in the first round.
I would rather them go to L.A. in the first round.
I totally agree.
And the travel sucks, but I would rather them go to L.A. and just deal with that.
Well, the travel to Anaheim or L.A. is basically the same.
Well, and, of course it is, yeah.
And, I mean, one of them's got Quick's a slightly better goaltender, but John Gibson's been playing great. So you got equal levels of goaltending. one of them's a dirty, scrappy team that has a history with you, and one of them doesn't. I think it's a very easy call to take the Kings.
LA is going to face you head on and try and hit you in the mouth. You know, Anaheim's going to be in the back alley with a crowbar.
the dark side of the four.
Really good Preds discussion in the first hour. If you want to get in, 615-737-1025 is the number.
Yeah, weren't we going to talk basketball?
We are going to talk some March Madness, some Sweet 16 when we come back.
Get excited for Kansas State, Florida State, A&M, and Loyola Chicago tonight, boys.
Four really good ones tonight. We'll get into that on the other side. It is Morning Drive on this Thursday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.